Okay, everybody, Code Pen Radio number 410. We're calling this. Marie actually is here. Hi, Marie.
Hey, everybody.
Had a great title. I was just going to do like, oh, we do customer support, because that's kind of what I wanted to talk about, because I think that's potentially interesting to other software as a service companies of like, oh yeah, how do you do support over there? Everybody's kind of got their own take on it a little bit. We have our own. But that we've podcasted about that before, and Marie pointed out just a couple of years ago, not a ton has changed. I thought we can give you an overview of just what we do, but much more interesting is that, holy wow, has it changed. It's changed more than almost any other aspect of what's going on at CodePen, just all of a sudden, and certainly the last 2 years, probably more rapidly than that.
Yes.
Which is just that, like, we don't get emails from people anymore.
We do, but they are
we do.
Being drowned by a wave of non-human activity, is the best way I could put it.
It's the way of putting it. Yeah, unbelievable. Okay, so the way that we do it is we don't, this is probably pretty common, depending on the size of the company and what you do or whatever, but we don't have the resources to, like, have a phone number. Not that any of us would want to do that anyway, but, like, I don't know. I'm sure there are some companies out there that are just, like, the size, or they just need to, for some reason, offer phone support. There's no way we're ever going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, well, each customer
for one thing,
to
we're
us
too
is
small. Yeah.
That's just it. And that I think it's more like the value per customer, not to like make our customers sound unvaluable, but you know, they pay like $10 or whatever a month. You know, like I can't have somebody sit on the phone with you for a couple hours. That there's no economic way to make that make sense.
Yeah.
You know, not to mention this is a technical product. There's, I just think email's fine. We do email support. That's it. There's no other way. You want to talk to us, we welcome you to do so. Type it out and send it to us. It's very easy to find. And that's how we do it. It's the only way that we do it. So we have this email inbox that comes in, and we're pretty big fans of this app called Front. Would you say we're fans? I don't know.
Yeah,
reluctant
absolutely.
Fans?
Yes.
You know,
we're
fans.
Say, I would not even say reluctant. Front is...
Well, it's like once in a while they change stuff, and then we're like, why though?
Oh, yeah. You know, but that's just the usual reaction to a cheese move. You know, the product is good. I mean, it has saved us who even knows how much time with all the nice features that it has. We couldn't do it without it.
Good. Let's say we're not reluctant fans then. Front
is
a nice product.
Legitimate
fans.
It is.
We're fans, let's say. And it's priced, I think, okay, in that it's a cost. It's not particularly cheap, but it's like not so crazy that we have to rule it out or anything. It's like you pay for a good product and that's what you get.
Definitely.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so there's, you know, perhaps to me, I mean, you'd maybe have a different list, but to me, that one of the core niceties is that everybody has their CodePen email address. And I guess we don't like force people to use Front, but I guess we kind of do. Like if you're going to do customer support, do it. But it means that like whatever Robert logs in with robert@codepen.io, now he's in Front and he can check his own personal email address that nobody else has access to through there. So it's just an email client. But by virtue of him being in Front, we're like Front users also, which means I can like share inboxes with him and share other Front functionality inside there. So everybody that on Team CodePen has access to the support@codepen.io email address, and it's this big shared inbox that everybody can see and work on and deal with. So that's just neat, just that like inbox sharing in the same tool works rather seamlessly. And then other things, one of my favorite things is that there's like a comment thread attached to every email thread. So we can talk to each other about what's going on in support without actually using email to do it. Nothing against email, but we can like leave little notes on the...
Yeah, because we have it right in context, and the notes that we leave are actually in the context of the thread. So for example, I might leave a comment on something where I've found some information that helps to solve the ticket. And then, you know, I might reply to the customer, and then, you know, all of my discussion with the team is in line with the discussion with the customer. So we can all be like completely up to date on what's going on, and the timeline of how it went on And then, you know, all of our discussion as a company is just among us. So, you know, we can kind of hash things out. And it's great because, like, you know, sometimes we'll have a ticket that takes a little while or takes multiple eyes to work on. And it's really nice to keep it all in one spot instead of being like, hey, did you look at that thing? Like, you know, let's talk about it in Slack or whatever. It's right here in front. So it's so right.
That's
so
why
useful.
It's kind of mandatory to be in there for us, because it's like you need to be clearing your own inbox. And there's like this, there's this concept of like assignment too. They're like, mm-hmm. okay, I'm going to give this to Robert. That means it's his job to take right. it from yep. here or reassign it or something. And we can kind of check in on that. That is great. But that's kind of like base level. You know, we don't have to go into the full feature set, but it's pretty fancy, all the stuff that it can do.
Yeah, they have a ton of other stuff, and we're not using everything. But the things that we do use, they always work. That's the other thing. Front, like, went down, like, one time that I can remember in the last couple of years, and it wasn't even for that long. You know, it's just, it's rock solid. It does what we need it to do. It doesn't give us any trouble. You know, sometimes they push out a redesign, but every app does that to you. What are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? There's also this like feature that has like continued to work for a super long time that we just haven't touched in a really long time, is they offer this, like, to me it seems like a weird feature ad, but we certainly take advantage of it, is they have like a sidebar that like you design and you host yourself, kind of like this, like an inner, like almost like a browser extension, only it's a front extension. And then through that, you like open up this little sidebar and it shows you your stuff, but it has access to front data and front APIs while you're doing it, like a browser mm-hmm. extension does. So we made like the CodePen admin sidebar tool. It means when you open up an email, that little tool like has access to like who sent it and the context of the email and all this stuff. And we like read through it and like put as much useful stuff as we can in that sidebar. And man, we haven't touched that in ages, and it's still relatively useful.
We put that in as soon as we started using Front, and I think we only had to make one tweak to it ever, and it just works. Yeah. And it's great because it helps us figure out, like, is this ticket coming from somebody who has an account? Is the account pro? You know, is their email verified? Yeah. All that type of stuff. If they need help with resetting their password, we can just send it right from that, from the sidebar there. We can just send the reset email. So
yeah,
you it's know, really handy. Front.
Yeah, pretty cool. So good job, Front. Okay, so let's get now to the thing that like has changed. Like, what? I mean, I guess it's. Are we just going to say AI happened?
Yeah, you know, AI happened, and it created a whole new world of customer support. I think anybody who is doing it right now probably knows exactly what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. There is so much noise coming into the support desk that is clearly generated by, or in some cases simply caused by, LLMs. And so when I say generated by, I mean sometimes the tickets are straight up very obviously written by ChatGPT. You know, it's got the, it's not just this, it's that, and the dashes and everything. And, yeah. You know, so we're getting tickets from agents that are trying and failing to do things, which is always really funny because sometimes they come across sounding fairly human. And then you get into the thread and you start to realize, oh, okay, we're talking to an LLM here, you know? But the other thing that's happening also, this is to a smaller degree, but actually significantly more frustrating, is that LLMs will tell people, oh, you can do, you know, XYZ on CodePen, which you absolutely cannot do on CodePen. And so they come to CodePen and try to do it, and they'll be like, well, I was told that this would do this. And it's just like, buddy, who told you that? You know, and as you dig in, it turns out it's Gemini, it's ChatGPT, it's Claude, you know?
So just to put a point on it, they type in, like, I want to do this thing. And then the LLM comes back and says, CodePen can do that. Go do these mm-hmm. steps or something. Yep. And
yeah,
then,
and it'll give it and then they steps try to that do don't it. Exist. Or it'll take, you know, something that you can do and misinterpret it. So it's a real shame because it creates a situation where people are very confused. There's a lot of people who put rather surprising blind faith in what they'll be told by an LLM. And so they'll sometimes argue back to us that we're wrong, because, you know, ChatGPT said it. It's just like, you know, it's a very surreal experience because, you know, of course, misunderstandings always happen and having to re-explain things is normal in support. But to be facing a source of untruth about your product while you're trying to be the source of truth is disorienting.
Yeah. Okay. So that would be like literally you just like go use the chat bot and it gives you some steps and you do the steps that and then the email comes from a human being typing words to you though. Maybe they right. also ask the chat to help craft that email perhaps.
Definitely. We definitely see a lot of that. Yeah.
Right. But that's different than an agent, that's right? Where an different. Agent is like, it just does stuff.
Yes.
It might actually have sent that email.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. They certainly have. We get the strangest stuff from those. And in fact, we had to recently make some changes to just the like physical placement of support forms throughout the site. You know, for the longest time since CodePen existed, we used to have a support form right on the 404 page. So if you, or a link to the support form right on the 404 page. So if you landed on a 404 and you were like, hey, what happened to this pen that I was expecting to see here, or this page that I was expecting to land on, you know, mm-hmm. you could write into support and say, hey, this thing I'm expecting is missing. But instead, what started to happen is we would open up the inbox any given day, and there would be hundreds of just like barfed out HTML, clearly generated by an LLM, just submitted into the form. And there was no account tied to it. There was no reason for us to be getting this email at all, but it would come from an email address. And then you look at the email address and it's like, you know, my bot dot whatever at Yahoo or something, you know? And so
that's fascinating, right? That this agent could be trying to do some work and then hit our form, and we're trying to provide UX to human people. Mm-hmm. What's weird is that they may have landed there because what thing I've definitely seen is that an LLM can just like invent a link to a pen that's just not real. So that's why they hit the 404, is because the LLM was like, go to this URL that's some absolutely just invented out of nonsense thing. They hit it. It's whether it's a person or the agent doing it, the agent might be doing it, see the form and be like, well, I'll just write some words in here and click it, because that's what I do as an agent, giving us this flood of emails of just useless, unbelievable information, you know? And it might even have an email address in it too.
Entirely detached from any customer.
Detached from a customer. Yeah, that's the thing. Then you go look up the person and they don't even have an account. And you're like, what is this? That's no longer a mystery. We're not like, what is this anymore? I'm like, no, oh, it's one of those.
Yep.
Right. Exactly. And even if you do have an account, I look at them with a huge skepticism because I'm like, did the agent make that account for you? Probably. It makes me want to just delete it. You know, we're not actually doing this, but this is just my little fan. It's unbelievable to me that we had this great customer support system where we're helping people with their problems and all. It's like, feels like a normal, happy customer support situation that has just devolved into 98% garbage that makes me a little jaded. Like, so we're not actually doing this. I'm just talking about my fantasy of like, if you write into this, there's such a high percent chance that you're just garbage to this company, that you're harming the company, not being a customer of it or doing anything useful with it, that it's like, I almost want to build a system that just deletes you if you've managed to make an account. I mean, we're not actually going to do that because it's a little step too far, but it's
we are discussing making it that there is a bit more of a hurdle to actually verify your account, to kind of activate your account before you get started doing anything on CodePen. Right now, you know, when you sign up for CodePen, you got to verify your email address so that you can use full page view. And there's a couple other things like creating collections and things like that. We need to do more than that. And we probably will relatively soon because we are just absolutely getting flooded with garbage, like just straight up garbage, you know, and it's not being generated by humans in some cases. And in other cases, it's not being generated by legitimate users. It's, you know, spam, it's weird scam stuff, it's things like that. And of course, these things have always been an issue for us. But because of the LLMs, this stuff is turbocharged beyond anything we've ever seen before.
Mm-hmm. So support has become, and, you know, at the moment, we don't have like a super great way of identifying it that way. Maybe we can evolve that in the future, but it's not so bad that it's taking anybody's like entire day or anything. So we just clean it out like you would a spam folder. You know, you're like junk, 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 junk.
Yeah, we definitely have made changes to mitigate that. Like when we took the link off the 404 page, when we took the form off of the 500 page, that definitely slowed down the noise that was coming into the inbox. And the biggest problem with that, it's not very complicated to delete a bunch of crap because it's just obviously not a real customer, or it's obviously not even really a ticket. But the problem is that that type of stuff just slows us down in terms of getting to our actual members. We do have ways to prioritize pro members, and that always means that they kind of float to the top of things. But, you know, we do provide support to our free members too. It's not as quick or as prioritized as for pros, but we definitely do. And so it's been, I don't want that experience to suffer because we are being hammered by, you know, inauthentic support requests. So we're getting there, we're managing it, you know, but it's been an unusual time.
Yeah, certainly. Some of it is maybe like benign-ish in that like you're just learning to use AI and you've typed some stuff into some agents and you're playing around and practicing, and like you're probably not a bad person. You're just letting AI do some stuff while you learn, and you're just on your way towards learning these tools and stuff. Probably a lot of it in that category. Mm-hmm. And some of it in the more nefarious category. We still get that stuff too. Because there's absolutely plenty of, you know, there's, it was the world of crypto kind of, whether it was just timing or the people involved or what, some of that vibe kind of turned into AI, you know, yes. Like that's what the progression was.
Absolutely. You know, we had the Web3 and the whole, they even brought their purple colors to the AI websites.
Yeah, know? Like the aesthetic kind of followed. Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's absolutely, I think I was thinking about it this morning before I got on the show, like this is just another symptom of another gold rush in tech. And we've seen so many of them. You know, there was the gold rush of learn to code, which was, you know, not all that long ago. Everybody learned to code. You'll get the best job possible, you know, and then, of course, we all know how that turned out. Many, many people did get good jobs, and many, many people learned to hate JavaScript. And that's all. And then, you know, the next wave was, the metaverse and Web3. And that one appealed to a certain group of folks, you know, especially some of the artier front end developers got into NFTs and whatnot. And mm-hmm. then, of course, that popped and is a shadow of itself. And then the next thing, the next big thing.
I haven't checked in on that in a while. Surely there's some people still happily trading them and stuff, or is it 100% zero? Like if you had a Bored Ape, could you sell it for $500 bucks still?
Recently in the news, someone was talking about one sold for almost $1 million, sold for something like $2,000 or something like that. I'll find it for the show notes, but no, nobody wants those Bored Apes anymore. But of course, nobody was ever going to. No one in their right mind thought, this is, you know, the future of commerce in the world. What it was that there were a bunch of people manipulating others into thinking that another gold rush was on. And so people got into that. They got into crypto. And now, you know, the next gold rush is on. It's AI. And so everybody's got to get in while the getting's good and, you know, make an app all by yourself, vibe code the whole thing, and, you know, you'll make millions and millions of dollars. And so, sure, yeah, lots of people are legitimately jumping into this. And alongside them are legions of scammers who now have legions of tools at their disposal to just blow up these scams beyond belief. So, you know, we're a place where people can post content. We're a place where people can make websites. So we have to be super on it to make sure that we're not, you know, a hotbed of garbage. And so that's what we're really trying to avoid here.
We see them on YouTube a lot too, right? There are these ones that are, they were based in crypto, but require a website because you just need to go somewhere to have the instructions and the buttons you click and all that stuff. So CodePen can be one of those places. We're trying to make it as least palatable of a place as possible to do that.
Seeking and destroying on this stuff because this stuff ruins people.
Sure. Yeah. We had this before AI, but now there's AIs that it helps you get there even quicker because you can be like, help me make a page, you know, where people can connect their crypto wallet, and AI will happily tell you how to do that.
But not even just that, you know, help me make this page and then help me make a YouTube explainer video that tells them how they're going to make hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of crypto in, you know, no time at all, using basically the scam from the movie Office Space, you know, or at least that's what they explain it to them as. So the people think that they are doing a scam, but then themselves are also being scammed. So there's nobody, I guess, that's a better victim than someone who thinks they're getting something over on somebody else. So anyway,
we certainly have had the emails come in and be like, hey, where's all my crypto? It's not in my wallet anymore.
Yeah. And it's like, buddy, how would we even know? Like in some cases, you know, before we really were able to get a handle on this, they were doing this before they even saved a pen. So they didn't even have a CodePen account. We didn't even know how this was even happening to people. Mm. But we've tightened that one up. And also finally, the big video got taken down off of YouTube. That was after you mentioned it on social media. Us reporting it did nothing, but I guess you are a big enough star to get a bunch of people to.
That's why I did it, honestly, because because it was on my mind, and I post things that are on my mind. But still, of course, in the back of my mind was like, "Hey, I wonder if this will hit somebody that I know who's, you know, I've been around this industry a while. You know, I have friends I don't even know I have out there somewhere. So thank you, whoever did that. Everywhere. I really appreciate it. but that's not exactly why I did it. And there is a part of me that like. It isn't particularly happy with that. That's what's required because it's like,
no, that sucks too. Absolutely. Yeah. But that's,
it does.
That's,
what do I deserve this back door that nobody else has?
I mean, you know? It's connections. That's just the way the world works.
I know it is, but still.
It's good that you're using your connections for good because plenty of people are not.
Yeah. Well, the big one's gone, but yeah, there'll always be another one with this crypto garbage.
Getting passed around on Telegram and all that. I mean, many, many, many people are desperate. And desperate people will do things that to an objective person might seem a little nuts, but lots of people are desperate right now and they will try anything. And so, you know, it's because we're a place where people can post things, we got to do what we can to put up guardrails to be like, don't try to do that here. You should not be trying to do this, you know? And there's going to be more and more of that as time goes by, the character of communication on the internet changes. We're just going to have to keep doing more of that. And these LLMs are not helping. They are absolutely supercharging this, creating situations where a person who could convincingly scam perhaps in one language can convincingly scam all over the world.
Yeah. So what is, you know, what's the inbox like now? So we made some changes to your you wrote up some ideas for us to change to, you've already mentioned them, which was limiting pages that it's likely an LLM will like hit or see that, that had like very actionable, you know, just fill out this form, you know, and we'll get back to you stuff, which LLMs were happy to fill out or agents, at least in this case. And so those changes worked. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. They've significantly reduced the noise.
And it's not, I don't feel bad about it because, like, do you need to find CodePen support on our website? It's so not hard to find. It's very easy to find. Yeah, we make it particularly easy. We just took it away from almost like programmatical access places.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. If you are able to use CodePen, if CodePen would be useful to you, you definitely are able to use the support form too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what are we still getting then?
Well, so. Again, we're still getting the miscommunications, you know, where people are being told just yesterday I gave a refund because Gemini told somebody that they could host a full thing with a back end and take customers and payments and stuff like that on CodePen. So, you know, the CodePen is the front end and the LLMs are just making things up, you know. So a thing we have to think about as we're going forward in writing our documentation is that a lot of what we write and that goes for everything, is going to be ingested by an LLM and summarized. So a lot of the time we try to be very specific in our documentation. We try to give as much detail as possible.
Well, that's interesting. Like, use more words because it's going to be summarized anyway. And if it's summarizing a summary, the chances of it being good are lower.
Right. Yes. And also that it will just kind of freestyle what it believes if it doesn't have enough information to draw from. So yeah, we may need to write longer, more detailed, and just kind of almost repetitive documentation. But that's weird because that creates a situation where people are even more likely to just want it summarized because they look at the page and they're like, ah, well, that's real long. I'm going to have this summarized. I don't like that direction. I have been happy about how our documentation kind of leans just on giving the details and doesn't have the salesy copy. But, you know, as I'm reading more about writing documentation with LLMs in mind, there's an encouragement to kind of make your sales pitch there, which I don't like that. I don't like making a sales pitch in documentation. I want that to just be in the marketing pages. But if the only thing they're looking at is the documentation page, then you do kind of want to point out, like, okay, you need pro for this, or if you want to do more than this, you need pro.
Yeah, maybe so that's the middle ground, because we are doing that in our newest docs. There's a kind of a, for each section, I tried to have what I call the limitations section, which is, I don't know, maybe not the funnest way to put you need to be pro.
But it's probably going to work.
Yeah. Some of them say, you know, to use this feature, you must be pro. That's the limitation of the feature. So,
Yeah, and I think that's gonna make sense. I also think, you know, we have some features, nothing that's going to really rock the boat, but some features that are going to change significantly or be renamed or removed in their current form in the future versions of the editor. And we have discussed recently talking about potentially taking them out of the documentation early and stuff like that, in part to stop the LLMs from feeding this information to people, you know. Maybe we can kind of age it out of the system faster that way. So, you know, taking out pages, sending them to Webmaster Tools and saying, hey, this is outdated information. You know, it's never going to be perfect, and support never is. Anybody who has done this for a long time knows there's always challenges. But, you know, we do want to make sure that we are able to serve human beings as best as possible. And so that's going to mean putting in some hurdles that are meant to screen out LLMs and hopefully won't screen out many actual people, and just, you know, doing what we can to kind of engage with the human being that is writing code on CodePen. So, you know, in the future, we're looking at adding a Discord server for our pro members. I think, you know, that's going to probably be very useful in terms of getting help from us.
I haven't thought of that in a sense of like, it kind of becomes Discord's problem to like keep the LLMs out.
Well, sure. But also, I mean, if you're a pro member and you're sending your LLM over, why are you doing this? You know, what is the purpose of that? But yeah, also, you know, it does have a layer of another service helping us out there. So, you know, eventually we're all going to be dealing with bots directly, and it's just going to have to be something we're used to. But for the time being, we need to zero in on the human being customer, because that's who's still writing the code for the front end. And I think starting in 2026, there's going to be a whole lot of people getting to write code for the front end again, because they're going to go in to clean up the messes that the LLMs made. So it's going to be a great year to know how to write code. 2026, baby.
Sure, right. And we've focused on some of the like challenges of it, but we're like users of them here too. Like, you know, that's the difference between this technology and crypto and stuff, is that crypto was so rife with scamming. You could hardly point to a situation where it helped somebody. Like, tell me one.
Yeah, you know, unless they were trying to do a crime. Yeah.
Well, sure, it helps criminals. That's not what I mean. Like, does it help any? But in AI, you're like, you can point to stuff all the time where it, you know, had some insight into something that turned out to be very valuable. It helps you do all these rote tasks. It can do them very well, all this. And I actually kind of like how the new CodePen editor, you know, LLMs by their nature is they return like a text blob response. You know, that's how the APIs work and all that. And that it prefers to, in the world of front end, kind of give it to you all in one document, you know, is that it's not it's a little more complicated to say, put this in your CSS file, put this in your JavaScript file. It's like, eh, here's the complete document. It's got a script tag in it. It's got a style tag in it. The new editor is much more like friendly to that approach of development than the old editor was. And that wasn't even an intentional, like, let's support LLMs better on CodePen. But we kind of are doing that through that.
Sure.
And yeah, I'm fine with that. In a way. Like, that's good.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with using computer tools to help you do stuff on the computer. I mean, you know, and for example, there's two things that I think are great about LLMs. One is that it really does help reduce language barriers. You know, people can get translations of things that are sent to them or things that they're trying to read. That's great. I mean, but we've had tools for translation for a long time, but it definitely helps there. But the other thing in particular to front-end development is that it's not going to be rude to you if you're not getting what it's trying to explain to you, or if you don't ask your question in the exact perfect way that a lot of coding communities have kind of required of people for participation. You know, if they don't like your, if they think your question's stupid or whatever, you know?
Yeah, you're going to hear about it for sure.
The pointless gatekeeping that went on there and the rude, you know, nerd behaviors that people dealt with for decades trying to learn how to do any kind of coding. I mean, just one quick thing. Every single woman in tech has a dude name they used to use on Stack Overflow. They're secret. We take them to our grave, but every single one of us does.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of those gyms were really Josephines or whatever.
I don't know about Josephine, but sure, yes.
Come on. That was the first J name I thought of.
But yeah, I mean, all of us used to have a dude persona to go ask questions on Stack Overflow.
That's
you don't
got to
do that with ChatGPT. You know, you can ask them whatever you want.
It's almost gone the other way. Now I hear nerds complaining that it's too nice. It's like gone too far. Because you ask a little agentic question in something like Cursor, it must be baked into its soul or something, or like a absolute requirement of it. It will say as the first line that it returns, because it's about to just start spitting information out of you. But the first thing it says is just how right you are.
Right.
It is like, you are so right. Let me get working on that immediately. Just to placate you a little bit. And, you know, to the point where like, it maybe that works a couple of times and then you're like, okay, could you stop using my tokens to tell me how smart I am?
Just tell me, tell me how to write this function. Yeah. You know, and I understand an LLM as a tool for learning. A thing that's, I think, a bit of an issue is, and I think anybody who is involved in like teaching or seeing people learn anything is that like when you just go to it and take its raw output and say, okay, here we go, I got it, I'm done. You know, it's great for going back and forth on something or having something explained to you as many times as you need it explained to you until you understand it. But when you just uncritically take the output, you know, sometimes it works just fine. And other times you're going to run into problems. And if you have no idea what you're looking at, you're never going to know where to even start to solve the problem. So, you know, I know I'm not alone in having that sentiment. I think anybody who looks at the output of LLMs in their field has these same feelings.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we did it. Thanks for that. Good luck to anybody else out there trying to do customer support in this world that has very drastically changed.
It has
for us. I wouldn't mind hearing from somebody else who does customer support. Like, did it change in the same way for you?
I bet there's a lot of similarity, and I bet there's a lot of stuff that we wouldn't even dream of, because it really depends on what you're doing. Like, I'm trying to picture what's going on at places that sell clothes, you know?
That's so funny. I thought of the exact same thing. What if you're in the customer reviews market? Oh my God, your life is over. It's 100% guaranteed to be garbage. They were fighting it very bad before AI, and now it's... I will never look at another written review again. There's 100% chance that somebody didn't write that. No way. Which I know there's a little bit of a pivot towards like video reviews. Like, just turn your camera on your face a little bit and be like, this dish towel actually works. You know, I might actually watch that, because otherwise there's no way that paragraph was written by a person. No way.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's a weird time to be doing stuff on the web. It's, you know, we've gone through weird times. We've gone through fun times. We've gone through exciting times.
Yeah.
You know, times have changed.
You write into CodePen, you gotta do a video now. Put in.
How terrible. You gotta
do it. Get that camera out.
Just you know, write your question, ask your question, we'll answer your question.
I can't see a single reason why this is a bad idea, but okay. Okay, good enough. Keep Alrighty. Doing what you're doing. Write words with your fingers sometimes. It's good for you, I promise. Eat your vegetables. Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.